You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a show in season 5. If I could
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Shut up, Leonard.
Winkler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline makes you say,
touche.
Community building is here to stay.
Unsubscribe.
Jess and Wiggler are in mourning. Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Community Season 5, Episode 4, Cooperative Polygraphy. Again, I'm Josh. That's Jess. And not only are we in mourning, it is actually for the first time community building in the morning.
The first time in a long time. We used to record on what, like for the patrons on like Saturdays or Sundays,
yeah,
at like 10 a.m.
They were like those. Okay, so it's like really early in the
morning. Like it's 8 a.m.
We all just woke up. We just woke up. We're doing a podcast. We've got coffee. We're
if my voice sounds
out.
Weird. It's because it's 8 a.m.
It's 8 a.m. It's very early to podcast. We are not alone, of course. The great Ariel playing the role of Walton Goggins is with us as well. Hi, Ariel.
Hoo-ah! That was my Walton Goggins.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I am so happy to be here, you know, as usual, just doing my respect the dead jiggle-ig.
We gotta respect the dead, do we? It is Pierce. It is Pierce. Yeah. And can I say that I really expected that, like, some sort of accident or he was secretly ill or something. And sorry to be so lewd this early in the morning. Am I to understand that he died from just like jacking it too much?
Yeah, he died of dehydration from ejaculating so much sperm.
Is that real?
That's exactly what happened. I mean, the guy was like 79 years old. Like you can't, my friend, you cannot do that much. Without death, hydrating yourself.
Death by too much ejaculation.
He ejaculated himself to death. That's how they killed Pierce.
Incredible. I would expect nothing less from Community.
I mean, yeah. It is a really ridiculous way to send him off ultimately, especially at the end of what is otherwise like a really funny, very in parts emotional episode of the show, and yet another episode of Community Season 5 that I have now watched twice. I am to understand, Jess, that there is a legendary table read. Yes. Surrounding this episode that I have not yet watched because I want to save some stuff for myself, though I do know that it's Pedro Pascal in the role of Walton Goggins.
Yes.
For the table read.
This was done in May of 2020. At the time, a lot of shows were kind of doing either table reads or cast reunions during COVID. And so the entire cast got together, including Pedro Pascal, and they did a table read of this episode. And it is so wonderful. It's so fun to see that so many years later, all of the actors like have no issue slipping back into their roles. And Pedro Pascal, there are moments, Josh, you're gonna love it. First of all, Pedro Pascal, like if he was having a moment in 2020, he is like elevated even since then. There are a ton of like Mandalorian jokes in there. And of course, now he is on The Last of Us. So just an iconic person at this point. But he is beside himself at multiple moments in the table read because he just like can't believe what he's having to read. Most specifically with all of the sperm talk.
Yeah.
And it is really, really funny. I highly, highly recommend it. I can link it in the show notes if anybody wants to go and watch it. It's like 30, 5 minutes. I rewatched it this morning, just as like to get a little quick laugh, and it's so enjoyable. So I do highly recommend it. It's the entire cast. The Dean, Jim Rash, is there playing the part of Mrs. Polygraph.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
So he's able to participate as well. Obviously, the Dean isn't in this episode, and it's just a lovely time.
Ariel, I feel like it says a lot that Community during COVID times got together like a lot of shows did for one of these table reads, and the episode that they selected was from season 5. I feel like it's a testament to the show having this real bounce back moment that they're like, oh, of all of the episodes that we could pull, we'll take the 4th episode of season 5. This is the one that we want to get into.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there is the element of like, they're sitting at a table, so let's do the table read of that. But to your point, I absolutely agree that it speaks to the level of quality, not just of this episode, but of this season overall, which is a season that I love. I will just admit here at the top, I have never seen season 4. I consider myself a huge Community fan, and I have watched all the other seasons. And at the time, I was just like, oh, I looked around and was like, oh, I guess we're not doing this. All right. Yeah. Boo. Yeah. Boo. We're not watching this. Yeah, and then it was like, oh, we're back. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're back. And then I just never looked back, and I still had the best time.
Can I tell you? Mm. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay.
Mm. You watched it really quick. You watch it real quick, and like, it's clearly not as good as the rest of it, but like, it wasn't.
Imagine, you don't need to watch it. I imagine you, like, in a 2 binge, episodes you could watch. But,
yeah, I would appreciate that, Jess. But I, to Josh's point, I imagine in a binge, it probably doesn't seem that bad. Like when
it wasn't good.
When
it
we were
good.
All in it. No, I know what you mean. When we're like all in it together week to week, like, oh God, this is horrible. I get that was bad.
Yeah. I get that. I also do just want to give a live update. As mentioned, we are recording Community Building. It is very early in the morning. This is my fault. I apologize to my co-host. This doesn't matter to anybody who's listening to it. But of course, if you are a patron of Post Show Recaps, you are able to listen to episodes of Community Building early when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You could listen to it early in the morning should you choose to, but as we are recording this live at 8 a.m. early in the morning, the great Emily Fox is on the other side of the door just drinking coffee, and I guess hearing me say he ejaculated himself to death. and I have received not a babe text so much as all caps, excuse me.
Oh, I thought you were going to get the silence wench text.
No, I've not been silenced, but I do think I've been questioned. And I have no answers. I have no answers for her on any of this. So I guess that Cooperative Polygraphy, by the way, is a great podcast, Cooperative Polygraphy. My second watch of this episode was not with my eyes, but with my ears this morning as I was slowly waking. I was like, I can't look at this. So I just put my headphones in as I was lying in bed, and I just listened to the episode like a radio drama. And it was amazing to do it that way. So an episode of Community you could take with you on the go. We appreciate that. I guess that you don't have to tell me this for shorzies, but I said, don't let me know when we're in the Donald Glover's going away arc, but it looks like it started.
It started. Man.
I was like emotional. The child, what was the childish, what was the name of it?
Childish Tycoon. It's named after Donald Glover's.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Childish Gambino.
Yes, it's very sad. I love, like, this episode really does have everything. It has, like, the laughs per minute off the charts. It has so many quick quips that I do think, like, remind me of, like, okay, we're in it. This is Community. No other show, in my opinion, does anything like this. And then it also just, like, hits you in the gut sometimes. Like, we have the emotional roller coaster of all the terrible things Spears is revealing about the group. And then we also have the actual sentimental moment at the end. And then we leave off on this just, like, 1-2 punch of, like, oh, my God, Troy is now leaving. And the moment where we get the cool, and the Polygraph lady is just like, that's a lie. We're like,
Yeah, that's brutal. It's brutal, but it's really, really well done. And I love the idea. I think there's like a maturity to Troy before he says, and $1 million. Or like that was really funny. But like, you almost see Donald Glover more than you see Troy in that moment. Ariel, I think, is so, so good.
Yes, I agree with that completely. I think there are a couple of moments throughout because, and you know, these actors are so good, obviously, and so used to being these characters at this point after all these years that I think they're used to literally embodying them when they're walking around. So there is an element to, like, because they're all sitting down, sometimes I do see the actors and the characters, but to be clear, in a way that I do not mind. And I think it is most true there with Donald Glover, but I don't care because he's earned it. Like, it's, he has earned every second of emotion, both as a character and as an actor. I'm sure it's, you know, feeling emotional, and it worked. I definitely teared up. I loved it. And the music, I'm like, damn it, they're getting me.
They got me. They got me in the Pierce episode. And this is after we've just seen like seven different viral Siemens canisters be handed out to everybody. And I'm still upset. Very, and like, not because of that.
Yeah. Very impressively smoking. It was like giving like nuclear silo.
This is like radioactive material. They all should have been given hazmat suits. I'm very concerned for Walton Goggins' character being exposed to so much of Pierce's literally lethal sperm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Cooperative Polygraphy. It is directed by Tristram Shapiro, who has directed so much of this. Dan Harmon, Alex Rubens. It originally airs January 16th, 2014. And we begin and basically stay in the study room.
It's a bottle episode. The group returns from,
obviously, the title Cooperative Calligraphy is getting sort of sent up here as well. So like, they're like, yeah, we've done this before, but let's do it again. And let's do it.
It's a spiritual successor to like two different episodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all returning from Pierce's funeral wearing blue, like entire blue get-ups. Abed was by the coffin for a really long time. Troy and Abed are in mourning.
I can't believe you said that during the eulogy.
I'm so happy. That is okay. So when I think about Troy and Abed, like when I think about Community, you know, you have all these like thoughts that flash in your head. And that's always the one that I remember, and that I not only remember, but say out loud, which is like dumb because that's not the funny one. You can't hear the you when you're saying it.
Yeah.
And when I heard it in this episode, I was like, I can't believe the episode I'm on is my Troy and Abed are in mourning episode. I love it.
Yeah. Can I also just say, for anybody who can't hear the you, then that's a problem that you can fix. You can check out LaTanya Starks and Marissa Garza's coverage of you here on Post Show Recaps.
When lie. You seek out, oh, no, wait, it's true.
PostShowRecaps.com/youpodcast is the RSS link if you want to search by URL. They're doing a great job, and you comes back February 9th, and they'll be all over it. So you should check that out.
I'm not even lying when I say I listened to the season 3 recap this morning at 5:30 in the morning when I couldn't fall back asleep. And so it's great. Go listen. It's beautiful.
This morning has been 7 hours already. Sorry, just kidding. It's been 8 hours. It's literally been 8 hours of morning. At this point, I wasn't awake for all of it, but
So Annie is like, I don't understand the laser lotus theology. Pierce's life vapor is in this energon pod, and Troy has the quote unquote incredibly persuasive literature. When you reach level 16, you can see the color blurple.
I want to see the color blurple, Ariel. I want to know what that's all about.
No, God doesn't want us to see it.
No, he does. He wants me to reach level 16, okay?
But I love that Troy is obviously the most susceptible one. And in an alternate timeline, he's like, oh, I think I might join this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So Chang comes in. He asks if the funeral was awesome. He said they all hated Pierce. They complained about him all the time. And this is when Mr. Stone arrives.
Yeah.
He's here to conduct a private inquest to determine if any of them murdered Pierce.
I want to give a huge shout out to Antonio being on the podcast last week and not blowing up the spot that the erstwhile Boyd Crowder was about to walk back into my life.
We love Antonio. He's a great secret keeper.
This is right around. I think Justified is still happening at this moment in time. When did Justified end? I think it would have been season 6. Oh god, the link, it's getting away. Someone say something while I look.
Lie.
This is a lie.
It's a lie. Yeah, 2015. So he's still Boyd Crowdering. Yeah. He's still Boyd Crowdering when this episode airs. So it's an exciting thing that this season of I mean, 2014 Josh Wigler, if he knew that Mike Ehrmantraut and Boyd Crowder were in the same season of Community, probably would have made it a priority to watch Community. Two of my favorite guys.
But then you
that
wouldn't
time.
Have had this lovely surprise now.
Everything works out for a reason, I guess. Yeah.
So they have to submit to a polygraph test, and Troy accidentally opens the lava lamp, or I should say the Energon pod, and all of like this air starts coming out, and so he starts sucking it in. He just goes, someone get a balloon.
Yeah, someone get a balloon. Why? Because he's gonna like suck out the air and then put it into a balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna save Pierce.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, this is vile. Like
it's
I don't
very gross it's, and probably toxic.
I do not stand the Energon pod vapor mist in the mouth.
Do we think that that's actually Pierce's vapors?
Josh.
Do we think that's actually
Are you level
him?
16? Are you level 16?
No, I'm only level 10. I think I level up after this next PvP. I'm pretty sure I do. I really
joke
do
for like stuff. 15 people.
Yeah.
So
it's not a joke. I'm serious. I'm pretty sure if I survive this next PvP because of all of the stacked XP, the passive XP, I think I ought to level up. Pretty sure.
Ovid says polygraphs are like the pie fight of cop movies or the acupuncture of the legal system. Uh-huh. Britta says this is a violation.
Is that an insult to acupuncture, Ariel? That it's that polygraphs are the acupuncture? Who's getting dissed here? Polygraph or the polygraph community or the acupuncture community?
I'm going to say the acupuncture community because they have gone through years of disrespect.
And yeah.
It's time for them to be respected as mm-hmm. a real...
respectable science.
Yeah, well, science perhaps not. I don't want to trigger the polygraph, but like definitely a practice that brings good health
a discipline.
To people in the world.
Yeah, that was good.
So Britta is up first, and she gets asked if she's ever had any sexual fantasies about Pierce.
I was so worried in that
no.
moment. Like, oh no.
I mean, this is a great episode where there's a lot of tension built into like, oh God, you know, because even if you don't believe in it, like the specter of the lies will hang heavily, like the results will hang heavily in the air, like so much yeah. Pierce missed. And so yeah, I think Britta initially is like, that's a lot, this is a lot, I hope the answer to this is no. There's all the like, Jeff, are you, is it true that you're gay?
No, like, gay guy says what
yeah.
you say that you're gay. If Shirley's a dishonest person and she says no, and I this is why the polygraph woman, spoiler alert, is gonna get my Dean's List point, because she says she thinks that's true.
There is one line from Shirley coming up towards the polygraph woman that is maybe my favorite Shirley moment of the show. I'm pretty sure.
And we find out Shirley is a platinum level donor with a pro-life organization, prenatalpatriots.org.
Yeah, Britta is scandalized by that.
Britta's line ages so well here. If I wanted the government in my uterus, I'd fill it with oil and Hispanic voters.
Oh my God. Wow. It is way too early in the morning to unpack all of that. Troy said when Troy is asked his name, he immediately says Butts Carlton.
Oh, I should have introduced myself as Butts Carlton.
Yes, she said Butts Carlton.
It's true. And is it true that you and Ovid and Deer have an elaborate doomsday escape plan to be used in the event of zombie attacks? And they didn't include any of their other friends.
Yeah, Pierce is tearing them apart again. And then it's Chang's turn. Chang's like, ask me anything. I'm an open book. I'm ready to go. Anything you got? Have you ever masturbated in the study room? Chang just like delicately takes the stuff off.
He just leaves
away from the table.
This is pound for pound has to be the best Chang moment of the entire series. Like, I'm not even joking, because we know, like, again, this episode they used Chang perfectly. This is what they need to do with him.
He's back. He's all the way back in my heart.
I laughed.
Chang leaving
so hard. the way he then, like, he doesn't even look at the camera. His face immediately, like, shifts over. Yeah. He kind of slinks away. I was just about to say, hands in the pocket is probably, I didn't notice it until my second watch.
So casual.
I was like, wow, he could not be trying to look any less, like, small and demure and disappear from the room.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He has to go for a walk. He has to, like, really search himself, and he's going to come back and cleanse himself with the truth and hopefully just the truth. Yeah. Abed is being asked if he, as a child, ever killed an animal with a slingshot.
And wondered if he could do it to a human. And everyone, like, he pauses and everyone's, like, sitting leaned in. He says no. And the woman confirms this is true. They're, like, very, very,
this,
like,
is, well, this is, like, the show's version of emulating our experience of watching the show. It's like everybody in the room being like, no, no.
Yeah, please don't be lying. And so we find out Troy and Abed are using Jeff's Netflix account, which, like,
interesting. Wow. We love interesting timing. Yeah, they have to, every 30 days, they have to log into the home network. Otherwise, they're not able to use Jeff's Netflix account anymore. Ariel, this is trash, right, by the way, this new Netflix plan?
The new thing? Yeah. It is so trash. It is, like, it is giving, like, government inventing the tax code, like, overly complicated, unnecessarily too many steps, and also just dumb. Like, if you can't explain it quickly and you have to, like, explain in bullet points and try to have, like, a grid system, it's too complicated.
Yeah, but sort of like James Gunn's new DC slate. So I agree. I also think it's just, like, completely uncool. Like,
it's uncool.
This is like the epitome of, like, you were the person in college, you bought the beer, you were the person, like, you had the parties at your house every week, and now, like, what? You're the president of the United States of America?
And you're sending, like, Venmo requests for all that
nerd
beer.
You're the president now.
You're like, oh, remember that beer that I bought Loser. 4 years ago? I would like $5, please.
What, you're going to have me sign in to your Netflix home account every 30? What are you doing, you nerd? Anyway, a total narc move here from Netflix.
But Jeff says, is this why my review of The Gray is constantly changing?
Yeah, he shades Liam Neeson here. This is pretty funny.
Which, also, bring back the Netflix star system. Now we have, like, what, a thumbs up, thumbs down? This is nonsense.
I thought you were going to say, bring back The Gray. Why aren't we talking about The Gray nearly enough? Unsurprised, not for you would be my review of The Gray.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
Scary so it's Annie's turn. Movie. Did you use your exceptional intelligence and organizational skills to plot the foolproof murder of Pierce Sawthorne? And she goes, but we find out she's been overcharging Troy and Abed, and in 6 years they'll have $86, which is jacket money.
Jacket money, yeah.
Overcharging is wild. That is such a fundamental betrayal of the roommate code.
And it's only $10. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I would like, because there's no chance that Troy and Abed don't eat Annie's food, so I would overcharge them just to, like, you know, compensate myself for all the food that they eat that's mine.
That's true. And we will find out later that Abed specifically loves some of Pancakes. Annie's food, so
yeah. This was only just the recalibration of questioning. It's time for the actual formal inquest. And Mr. Stone says they could quit any time, but the estate is worth $20 million and they won't see any of it if they don't complete the test.
Yeah. Is this when Jeff is trying to tell them all that, like, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't fall into another trap, and they all agree, and then the polygraph lady goes, they're all lying. And then Shirley, this is my favorite moment, when Shirley snaps. I don't have the exact quote, but she's like, we all know that, you dumb bitch.
And then she says, we all knew that, you judgmental bitch.
The delivery was so good. It was so fast. You know, just like sort of the Jekyll and Hyde qualities of Shirley just in full display in that moment. And I died. It was so good. Really funny.
Yeah. So this is when we get some more reveals. Shirley served Britta meat food.
Meat food? Ugh, what is that?
It's not technically meat.
Meat foo. I thought I like the idea that it's like tofu meat foo. Like, it's just,
oh, it's
like
meat foo. I thought so it was meat food.
Well, I forgot to check the closed captioning.
Yeah, it could be.
Either way, it's no less of a shock to Britta. It's
disturbing.
Yeah.
Britta was high at Shirley's son's baptism.
No higher than usual.
Yeah, that was a lie. I love the, at least with the Briss, there's an element of suspense.
I mean, listen, the Briss is a terrifying event if you've never been to one. Good Lord.
Why would you want to gather people to like, anyway.
There are religious reasons. I'm not going to unpack the long Judaic tradition of the Briss right now. Mm-hmm. It is too early in the morning. There are reasons.
So you're saying
stressful affair.
So you're saying that Brisses don't usually happen like at this time in the morning.
No, they typically do. Yeah, they are this. Being fact checked on the other side of the door. Emily says we went to a Briss this early once.
Upper West Side. Too early for like. Sorry, it was the Upper East. Chopped off.
Upper East Side. I agreed. I thought so. But we got bagels with cream cheese afterwards. And so it was.
You got bagels.
All's well that ends well, for sure.
So Jeff keeps trophies of his sexual conquests. And I love Annie saying, answer the question, Adrian Grody.
Adrian Grody. Wow. His poker face, Ariel. Wow.
I couldn't get over Adrian Grody because it shouldn't be funny, but it's so funny.
I know. I think it's really funny to me because of just how cheesy it is.
Yes.
Adrian Grody is the cheesiest line. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Britta line coming up is like one of my favorite moments.
Yeah. So Jeff has Britta's underwear, which she told you told me a hawk stole them. You exploited me and made me believe in a slightly more magical world.
Oh my gosh.
The way her voice cracks when she says hawk, it's like, you told me a hawk stole them.
A hawk stole them.
So ridiculous.
The image of it is just so crazy.
Like, and the fact that Britta believed that a hawk would steal someone's underwear is like, and why would it be a magical world for a hawk to just swoop in and take your underwear?
Yeah.
It's so great. Troy then admits to killing Pierce and they say it's a lie. And he's like, oh, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he was nervous.
It's dark.
But unfortunately, there is a lie. Troy plagiarized his handshake with Abed.
Oh no.
Yeah, so it's all from a YouTube channel, Fun for Friends. And this is when Troy says, like,
what's up? Check out me and my friend Kyle's cool handshake.
And that's it. That's the whole video.
It's like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And so of course, the woman says something, and Troy is like, again, one of my favorite lines of the entire was silence, wench.
Silence, wench.
And Abed says, I forgive you, but only to escape the established pattern of self-righteous indignation followed by immediate comeuppance.
At which point we find out that Abed has planted tracking devices on everybody. I assume subdermally, like this is like under the skin somehow. Mm. He has injected like tiny little tracking devices.
Yeah.
Where did Abed, if Abed barely has jacket money, Ariel, where did he get the tracking device money?
I mean,
someone should have asked him that.
He probably just built them or something. I mean, I have no, I do not lack faith in Abed's ability to do anything, frankly.
Yeah.
So I think he would probably prioritize this differently than jacket money, per se, or even rent, honestly.
I believe that's true.
In 2014, do you have like the track my location functionality on the smartphones? Because he just waits a couple more years.
No,
just
I don't
to
think
get some
so.
Alone time with their phones, and he has a much less expensive.
But
way
they'd all
of
have to
everybody.
Have. They'd all have to have iPhones. No.
I don't know if this is a feature beyond the iPhone.
Also, we know
point.
That Britta definitely doesn't have the newest, latest, greatest
no,
phone based
true.
On.
She will need to be implanted with a tracking device. Yeah. This is true. Yes.
We also find out. So he was trying to get it back from Pierce before he was buried, which is why he was spending so much time at the coffin.
Dee's ghoulish here. This is so ghoulish that he's like grave robbing Pierce.
Yeah. The image of him, I mean, who knows where he had implanted it in Pierce, but the image of him like trying to do that in front of all these people is just wild.
Horrible.
Yeah. Annie once dosed the group with pharmaceutical amphetamine to keep them up to cram for an exam.
She drugged them.
Yeah.
She drugged them. Jess, defend your girl. Get your girl. She
little Annie Adderall.
She drugged the group.
It was only 5 milligrams.
It was only 5 milligrams and they all passed.
Oh no.
Listen, everybody does crappy stuff this episode. I don't think we need to like you know, rake Annie
she
over
roofied
the coals.
Her friends.
I love Jess's defense of Annie. Like, listen, we've all done bad things, okay? We're all monsters.
Now, I'm feeling pretty wired this morning, and this is the earliest I've podcasted in a while. Jess, what have you done to me? Did you slip Adderall into my coffee?
How are you enjoying your coffees this morning?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Is Emily an accomplice?
Emily?
So,
you know, she did pointedly run out of coffee yesterday, and we had to get an emergency box of Joe from around the corner this morning. Mm-hmm. So
there
she
it
could
is.
Have been in cahoots.
Jess attempt
does track.
Abed catfished Annie, and
she says,
said,
"I'm sorry."
You're Olympic pole vaulting hopeful Brent Underjaw. The name Brent Underjaw is perfect. Chef's kiss, no notes.
Brent Underjaw. Yeah, but when you're in a relationship, you hum and you make pancakes in the morning. I did it for pancakes.
It is like, is that more evil or less evil? Like, because traditionally,
more evil, but only do it for pancakes.
I might argue differently. Let me talk through this quickly. So, like, traditionally, catfishing is like I'm doing it for, well, I guess, selfish reasons, and this is selfish. Okay, fine, it's evil. That's it. That's all it took. But pancakes are delicious, and I'm sure Annie's pancakes are great. They're probably like purple, right? She puts in like some kind of food coloring or something, Jess. Mm-hmm. Maybe
she maybe makes fun shapes. But what do we think about Annie's holding hands at Disneyland
I don't want to judge.
It's horrible.
I didn't say I'm not judging. I said I don't want to.
I want to judge, and I don't. What a fantasy about holding hands at Disneyland? That feels like very attainable.
Yeah.
Maybe she's never been.
I hope that everyone. Okay, if you have on that like skip pause thing on your podcast, go back 30 seconds and take that off because there was dead air for so long.
Listen, I just feel like we get a little more creative. Disneyland fantasies. Like, I feel like there's more that could be done with this fantasy. Yeah. I don't want to dive too deep into this, but we could figure out some stuff. The holding hands. I guess it depends on whose hands are being held. You know, if she was able to like get a hold of Mickey Mouse's hand.
I don't want to do that. No, whoa. The costumed people freak me out.
Ew, well, we don't know. It's just a job, first of all. So let's be cool.
They're cool people. It's something about the costumes.
You don't know who's underneath the costume.
That's the thing. And where are their
Brent
eyes?
Underjaw. Olympic
it
pole
could
vault
be Brent Underjaw.
Legend.
And also, do they wash the costumes? It's a whole thing.
Gross.
They got to. They have to.
No, of course they have to eventually every how so often. Often. But how often are we talking?
Routinely, daily, multiple times a day, they have to go and step into like a car wash type of a situation. They get like a scrub down. They get dried and then they get sent back out into the children of Disneyland.
I would hope so.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
We find out that Jeff made Abed apply for a handicap parking spot so he could get a better spot. Britt is the one that invited Garrett to Annie's birthday party.
What's the problem with that?
We love Garrett. Crisis alert. Troy won't sit on a toilet seat after Jeff.
Why? What is that? What is Jeff doing?
I can understand if like toilet seats is warm. That's like really gross.
Yeah, you know, it's not ideal, but like, what is it about Jeff's cheeks specifically? Does he like perfume them? And is it like a scent thing? I don't know.
I don't want to think about the scent of a toilet.
Maybe Troy. Maybe Troy knows where Abed put Jeff's chip in, and he's like, I don't want to go anywhere near that.
Yeah, yeah. And he's afraid that now he'll be confused for Jeff.
Maybe.
Yeah. Funny though. When we're alone, Shirley refers to you guys as those people.
It's really great.
Pierce is still doing this to us. And Walton Goggins says, Mr. Pierce hasn't asked a question in a long time. Yeah. They're just doing it to each other, Ariel. This is them. This is us.
It's the truth. It's the truth doing it to this. It's the truth coming out. Mm-hmm. It's Pierce's prodding, but they're all doing it from themselves.
Yeah,
the silence is deafening at that point.
The truth is coming out, Jess. Apparently, it's coming out everywhere.
Yes.
Chang returns to the study room to say, I didn't just masturbate in the study room. I masturbated everywhere. Big Gary Oldman, the professional energy with that line read. Unbelievable. Disgusting.
It's so gross, but it is the best line read. Like, it's so funny. It's so ridiculous.
The way he raises his hands, like he's the Night King raising the dead.
Yes.
Like, in Hard Home. He's like,
everywhere.
Love it, Chang. I mean, to be clear, I don't love that what he did.
I love that you masturbated everywhere. So Jeff has a whole speech about, like, we're no better than Pierce, but Pierce is no worse than us. And that means nobody's really that bad. So if we stop now, it doesn't make us better. It just makes us so dishonest that we would rather be poor than admit we're flawed. And so they all decide to come clean. And Jeff admits, I would rather look at myself naked than the women I sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the thing that I believed the most in the entire episode.
Yeah, yes. This is easy to believe.
Yes.
Annie hits Jeff's Lexus in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Britta only gives money to homeless people when she's walking with someone.
That's rough. That's rough.
Troy hasn't been to Legoland. He just wanted them to think he was cool.
Yeah.
Shirley can be passive aggressive sometimes. Mm-hmm. Don't all disagree at once. Oh, I did it again.
Yeah. Abed has a real problem with everybody chewing gum. Like, it really interrupts his frequencies in his brain.
I mean, I don't disagree with him. Like, it's not really the chewing gum aspect. It's if people chew with their mouth open, yeah. I think my brain is going to die.
Yeah.
Do you want to punch people like Abed does when...
I won't say
it?
I don't want to punch people.
Survey says that's true.
Yeah. So we're up to the final round of questioning, and things take an emotional turn.
Yeah. Britta Perry, do you know that you hate yourself more than you should and that your passion inspired me? It's like, oh, wow. Here's an iPad Nano and a liquid nitrogen cooled cylinder of my hyper virile sperm in case your lesbian lifestyle one day wears out and you wish to raise an army of geniuses. This is not the baby genius reboot that we asked for. Let me tell you. Woof, woof, woof.
Also, a shout out to Britta's iPod Nano. Josh, I don't know if you remember in season one, The Art of Discourse, which is the Schmitty episode that we all hate.
Uh-huh.
In the moment where they do that kind of high school stills where they say like the future of everyone, Britta Perry, proud owner, used iPod Nano 2014. It gets brought back up in season five.
Okay.
Wow. We love it.
That's nice.
And then we get to Shirley. Did you know that you're not only a credit to your race and gender, but to our species, and that I was intimidated by your strength of character and business acumen? And she goes, yes.
Yeah. She did know. She for sure knew. Yeah.
So she gets a timeshare in Florida and, of course, some sperm.
Annie gets the tiara that she once turned down, as well as a side order of sperm.
Did you know that you were always my favorite? Yeah.
Jeff gets a fine scotch and some sperm.
Did you know you're gay? Agree to disagree.
Abed gets nothing but sperm. I guess Pierce just hated Abed the most.
Honestly, I feel like it kind of, he just didn't get Abed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a way that actually isn't unkind here, I think. Like he says, and I do also want to point out that like that Walton Goggins' character is calling him Abed the whole time, which is what Pierce called him. So it's like literally he is speaking with his voice. Do you know you're insane and nothing you said ever made any sense to me? That's just like objective truth. That's not quite an insult. So I actually thought it was kind of sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Troy has the heart of a hero, the greatest gift that life can give. And you cannot waste it like I did. So he gives him not just a side order of sperm, but all of the shares for Hawthorne Wipes currently valued at $14.3 million. But there is a catch. You have to sail my boat, the childish tycoon, around the entire world. And it's at this moment where I'm like, no, it's happening much sooner than I realized. No, it's only episode 4. As like clearly like this is just the meta of like really all Dan Harmon had to do is like, can I call it the Childish Gambino? He's like, no, you could use Childish though. Mm-hmm. And so he's gonna go on the Childish Tycoon around the world. And Troy wants to do it. Everyone is like shocked. He wants to do it. Pierce knew something about me that even I didn't know until now, because he's offering me something I've been searching for my whole life. Millions of dollars and being a man or whatever he said.
Yeah. And then Abed, like, this is the part that truly breaks my heart, is Abed saying cool, 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 and the woman saying that's a lie. It's so brutal, because it's like Troy and Abed are in some ways just kind of like the soulmates of the show. Mm-hmm. And so knowing Abed, he hates change. He absolutely cannot stand change. It's very difficult for him. And Troy is his best friend, roommate, soulmate, person that is there for him all the time. And like the person that understands him the best, certainly not only just of this group, but I probably in his life. And the fact that he has to like have this sudden revelation that like, oh my God, Troy's not going to be around forever for me is so freaking brutal.
Yeah. I think Abed is speaking for us, Ariel, in that moment, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Chekhov's morning with a U, mm-hmm. that they say in the beginning. And it's like, oh, you don't even know, Abed, of what you're going to be mourning. It's very, and it's like the most Abed way of revealing that, right? Like someone who doesn't really speak about their emotions or doesn't really understand them, to be honest, all the time. So,
Yeah. And then we go from like that emotional moment to just like an absurd postmortem on everything that just went down. The end credits is just Walton Goggins going off. I have the transcript. I do have every, cause he just speaks through the entire thing. And then that sperm came down. I mean, I couldn't say anything, but oh my God, I was going to explode. And then that last question with all that nice stuff out on the table, you guys were having this discussion about whether or not to quit. At first I was like, ah, but you did it. You did it. It was amazing. You're amazing, man. You're amazing. Oh, guys, this is the best. We should do this every week. I'm a fun guy, you know? I mean, you talk about lying. I was lying the whole time. This is who I really am. This is me. This is the real me. I'm artistic. Ideas come to me all the time. I have this idea for a movie. It's about this guy who oversees polygraph tests, and the biggest obstacle is how good-looking he is. People can't focus and tell the truth. It's unbelievable. And then someone asked, by the way, we never found out how Pierce died. He says, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't tell you that. It was dehydration from filling up all of those cylinders. I mean, it's how I want to go, but hey, I'm a little nutty. Are you guys thinking what I'm thinking? Shots!
It's so good. It's so funny. It's like, I love that they gave him the moment to like shine, because like, yes, he's very funny, like giving out the questions and everything, but like he's the straight man. He's very serious. Yeah. And I love that in the end credit scene, we get him just like completely losing his mind.
Yeah. Ariel, this was his audition for the unicorn, I think. Wow. Walton Goggins. This is the moment that he stopped being Boyd Crowder and became the unicorn.
The unicorn. Only the unicorn could do this and deliver this with so much emotion. It's hilarious. I agree. Mm-hmm. The fact that they gave him his moment, like you said, Jess. And he has ideas, okay? He has ideas about films, and they need to be respected, frankly, because it's Walton freaking Goggins.
Yeah, let's not forget. That's the...
So funny.
Do you think that was him when he's like, this is the real me? He was like, no, I'm no longer in character. It's me, Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
Goggins, excuse me.
I feel like it sounds like it. It does. I mean, I kind of feel like he's pitching...
is this what the unicorn is about?
I think it's pretty close. I think there's a pretty clear streets ahead across the board. It's a very, very, very funny scene.
Yeah, very easy.
We've got some feedback here. This is from Riley. Riley says, I'm going to make a probably wild take, but I think this is the best Pierce episode of the entire show, despite him not being in it and also being dead. I don't disagree. You still have me. Riley says, I think season 5 is the best Pierce season. In fact, I don't think it's close. Genuinely, I think the character of Pierce became what he became because of Chevy Chase being Chevy Chase, an awful person on set. So Dan Harmon, in retaliation, made Pierce worse and worse. And so getting to write the character of Pierce without Chevy Chase creates the best Pierce content the show has ever produced. I would agree, except for the fact that this is maybe unfair because Ariel hasn't seen it. But what about Pierce's haunted house? That was pretty fun, right? That was good content, babe. I'm joking.
It sounds fun. Oh, it was a joke.
Listen, it's 8 in the morning, Josh, okay? No.
I'm joking.
Jess cannot abide.
I cannot. No, I don't disagree with Riley, though. Like, I would say, in my opinion, I would rather, like, if we're going to give Chevy Chase, like, okay, this is the best Pierce content, I would personally say it's introductory to filmmaking, or the one that documentary filmmaking, the one where he's in the hospital and he's bequeathing, right? This is the spiritual successor to that episode. And I think that is the best Pierce content we get, because it does show all sides of him, where yes, he does genuinely care about these people, but he's also just like a jerk. So yeah. I kind of think that's probably Pierce's best episode.
Let's do this from the Lies Tracked Bandit. The Lies Tracked Bandit, without a voicemail this time around, writes in and says, this episode feels like a mix of some other very prominent past episodes of the show. Clearly, the title and structure pen a homage to the season 2 bottle episode Cooperative Calligraphy. Then we have a refrain of Pierce's Machiavellian scheming that pitted the group against one another in intermediate documentary filmmaking. Finally, Jess, I'm so sorry, but I have to say that we even get a stitch of felt surrogacy, aka puppets here, as the group divulges some major secrets.
But at least they're like believable secrets. Sorry.
I suppose.
Too early to yell, but still.
Uh-huh.
But here I go.
Mm-hmm. But I can't help myself.
And so the Lies Tracked Bandit leaves us with this question. Did any of the revelations in this episode feel like they were out of character?
I don't think so. Like, I feel like all of this stuff is so extremely believable. The only one that I guess is like not out of character, but harder to believe is like we were talking before about how Abed was able to get these geo-trafficking devices and like afford them and plant them on people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Ariel, do you agree? I feel like there isn't anything that's super unexpected.
Yeah, nothing jumps out at me. I think that's the joy of watching, like, especially, you know, in the context of the season 5 of it all and like coming back and everyone being back together, like, let's reveal things about these people that you as the audience think you know so well, and they think they know each other so well. They kind of have to feel like they're real, and it just makes it that much funnier and that much more outrageous that they don't know these things that are actually pretty insane for some of those facts. So none of them felt out of character, and I just have to call out again the hawk that Britta believes in, which is adorable.
Yeah. Well, I was actually gonna look at the hawk as like the only one, because I'm just going through the list. And Jeff keeping trophies of his sexual conquests is like a little closer to Dennis in Always Sunny than Jeff in Community for me. Like, that feels like something Dennis would do. I don't know if it's totally something Jeff would do for the version of Jeff that we've
got. Feels like early one of the Jeff. Twins. It feels like
early Jeff. Jeff. Early Jeff, yeah.
Okay. Dennis is one of the twins, right?
Yeah, yes.
I hate Dennis.
Dennis Reynolds. Oh, incredible character. They're all great. They're terrible. They're horrific.
He honestly is like, I struggled watching the show because I was like, I actively hate him so much.
He's so ridiculous. He's absurd. They're all horrible.
They're all terrible people, but and they're not trying to say they're good people, but like, I hate him.
No, they're horrific. They're incredible. All right. Meow Meow Beans time. It's time to rate every single character from 0 to 5 Meow Meows. It's a tough week to not be in this episode because Dean's getting a bagel, but
so
everybody else for me is getting a full 5 Meow Meow Beans. This was an all-time episode, and this is what, for me, this is the third all-time episode in a row, and even the first episode I loved. So, yeah, we're doing great. Community Season 5.
Flip.
Staying alive. Season 5 Meow Meow Beans for everybody. That's what I'm doing. I don't feel like I need to explain it much more than that.
Errol, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, sometimes we get characters not appearing in the episode as much, characters not really having much to do, or kind of like a B or C or even D sometimes emotionally storyline. But here it's literally all our favorite characters sitting around, all having moments that feel extremely their character, all getting to be funny and heartfelt and emotional, which is, as everyone knows, what Community is at its best. It's the comedy, emotional gut punch combo that it does so well. And this, I think, is a microcosm of all that. So they boringly all got 5s. But yeah, I will say my one twist is I tried to give Dean a 5 also, even though he's not on the episode, just because I love him. So I leave it to Jess as to whether that's valid.
You can do whatever you want, Ariel.
We could assign that 5 to Jim Rash when we rank this episode again, when we podcast about the table read. How about that?
Well, okay,
Ariel, you'll come back for that one.
You
I promise.
We'll put a hold on the 5.
I love that we are all in lockstep this early in the morning. I similarly gave everyone 5s except for the Dean. Obviously, he's not present. But everyone,
including Chang.
Yeah. So, and including Chang, this is what I'm saying. I'm not a monster. Okay. I can appreciate.
I appreciate the clarification.
When Chang is used as he should be, and this episode is the perfect encapsulation of why I love a bottle episode, because all of the characters are interacting with one another. Everyone, it's like you're really relying on character work when you have a bottle episode, and everyone is so freaking true to their characters. It is so evident that these characters have history together, that these actors have been playing these characters for a very long time. Like, you can feel that come through in this episode, and the comedy, again, pound for pound, like, some of the most I've laughed at Community, at least in a very long while. And it's so, so, so well done that I cannot help, but even though some of them say terrible, terrible things and or do terrible, terrible things, I still cannot help but give everyone 5s because they're just so perfect in this episode.
So then a lot changes for the Dean. He is now
Poor
in
Dean.
Last place by a lot. 33.5 Meow Meow Deans for Dean. It's basically a tie in the next 4 spots. Almost 46 for Annie, 46 for Chang, 46.5 for Shirley, 46.5 for Britta. So they are all very close. Then it's Troy and Abed with 50 Meow Meow Beans apiece, or 50 for Troy, 50.5 for Abed. Jeff is currently the leader of Season 5, 53.5 Meow Meow Beans.
And he hasn't won. Jeff.
No. Well, I don't think even if Troy gets 5 Meow Meow Beans next week, I would guess that that's probably his last shot. I think he's going to be left behind quite a bit here pretty soon. Streets behind, but streets ahead forever in our hearts. I'm not thinking about Troy being off the show until he's off the show. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm not having a good time. The Dean's list, I was very easy. It's Walton Goggins is on my TV screen. It goes to Walton Goggins, but I appreciate Jesse went with the polygraph woman. She's hilarious.
She's so funny. It's also just her interactions specifically with Shirley that I just find so just hysterical. Obviously, it's a tough episode because we're not getting Leonard. We're not getting Garrett. Like, Garrett is mentioned, but he's not here. So there's not a ton of options. And obviously, like, it's tough because I do think, I think his name is Mr. Stone, right? He is very, very funny in the end credits scene, but like the polygraph woman just killed it. So I had to give it to her.
Yeah. Ariel, what did you do? Did you go with the polygraph woman or with Walton Goggins?
I really struggled. I have to be honest. I even went back and tried to like see who was walking in the background because it was like a true bottle episode. And I was trying to figure out if there was anyone I could kind of clock walking around in the back, in like the hallway in the background. And there wasn't, because I struggled. I did want to give it to Walton Goggins, Mr. Stone, but ultimately I think this is a compliment. I wasn't surprised by how good he was.
Yeah.
Whereas
sure.
Dr. Polygraph, as I have named her, I was very surprised by how much I enjoyed her. So I had to give her the point.
I'm a huge Walton Goggins fan. I'm not mad at this. Just the ingredients of this episode all came together so well. I think you put Walton Goggins in, that's like a really easy, quick path to success. So to stop down and acknowledge others in this episode, I am all about. Four Cools. This is a perfect episode of Community. This is the third perfect episode of Community in a row. This is wild. This is nuts. This is very, very fun. I'm having a great time.
I'm really, really happy that you're enjoying it, Josh, because I obviously it's tough when we hype, like, you know, people who are fans and myself included hype up certain things to a certain extent. And I had said to you, like, I think this is one of the best runs that Community ever has. This like stretch of episodes is just so, so amazing. And I'm happy that it's living up to that hype for you.
This is the first time that like I actually feel like Community is with some regularity exceeding the hype for me, to be totally honest. I think that this is these few episodes and having them in such quick succession with one another, this is the most I've ever enjoyed Community. These few episodes have been among my very favorites as far as like the streak has been, not to evoke the Ass Crack Bandit, has just been utterly amazing. Ariel, yes.
Sorry, I just remember this. Speaking of the Ass Crack Bandit, there's a moment early in the episode where Jeff goes to sit down and there's the slightest separation between his jeans and his sweater. And I had a little bit of like an emotional reaction, like, oh God, is he in danger?
Yeah.
Oh no, not this again.
I am surprised that anyone would ever sit down and expose their backsides to an entrance from this point forward, especially with no resolution to the Ass Crack Bandit.
Yeah, they're all just screaming.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in mourning. Yeah. This is like a really, and especially in season 5. Like I just think it's very impressive that like at after season 4, in a season 5 of a television show, they're still coming up with just fun, new, fresh, funny content. And of course, I also gave this a 4 because obviously I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Ariel.
Yeah, I got to give it the Four Cools, but like the actual Four Cools, not the like trying to hide my emotion Four Cools that Abed gives at the end.
Yes.
Because it's for all the reasons we've already stated. This is, I just have to say this. This, I love that we watched this episode a week where like bottle episode is back in like the public vernacular,
like the zeitgeist thing.
And I have to shout out Catherine Van Arendonk from Vulture, who has like for years been on this thing of like, you're using the term bottle episode wrong.
Yes.
And this week, Last of Us, a lot of people were like, that was a bottle episode.
It's not
technically.
That's not what a bottle episode is.
Right. And I love that when I started this episode, I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. The timing is incredible that we have like one of the not just shows that is known for doing good bottle episodes, but a great bottle episode here.
Yes. So four cools from all three of us. Really great audience score, 3.8.
It can get higher. So if you do want to send in your scores at community@pushyourrecaps.com or tag me in the Push Your Recaps Discord.
No leaning on just the, on the scale.
I was just saying, if you want to send in your scores, there's still so much saying. Time.
Democracy is still open.
Yes. So that ends up being 3.95 across the board for cooperative polygraphy. It is the second best episode of season five. Behind the Ass Crack Bandit. Basic intergluteal numismatics remains number one with 3.98.
Yeah, you asked me last week if I thought that basic intergluteal numismatics would be topped soon. I truly thought this episode would be number one. Personally, I think I have them both at fours. They're both genius episodes. They're brilliant. Personally, I would put this episode just edging out that episode.
Ariel, do you have a strong take here, one or the other?
God, I think it's lame. Your mileage may vary on the style, because like obviously that one just feels so much bigger and there's so much happening and it's so stylized. And this is just like, let's take everything that works between these people and like really crystallize it into what is essentially a table read, as we have kind of gotten at. Earlier, this is more a little bit of like the community that I remember, if that makes sense.
I think I would put this one slightly above the Ass Crack Bandit, to be totally honest. I think that this episode is so character focused, and there isn't a lot of, I love the genre stuff. I love it when the show takes another, you know, form for a spin, right? Like, I think that could be very, very fun, and it has led to some of the best episodes of the show. But when it can just kind of be its original fundamental self in its best possible way, that's almost more impressive to me at this point. And especially to give us an episode that's really emotional, stemming from Pierce of all people. I agree with Riley. This is my favorite Pierce episode. So I think I would put this like very slightly ahead of the Ass Crack Bandit. The Ass Crack Bandit is very reliant on a gag. And I don't think that this one is reliant on a gag. I think that this is reliant on years and years of character history. So I love them both, though. I think that they're both close to flawless episodes of Community, certainly. So we're feasting right now. Mm-hmm. It's very good times here on the Community podcast. So that's it. That's the episode.
Can you say numismatics again, Josh?
Numismatics.
I love that.
Nailed it.
Yes. Basic intergluteal numismatics.
And that's at 9 a.m., friends. Yeah.
Pneumatic tubes to cross the streams with Down the Hatch. Ariel, what's going on with you outside of this podcast? My phone pinged while we were recording, and it was my podcast app telling me that a new episode of the Poker Face podcast dropped.
Wow. Incredible.
How about that?
Incredible that you were told.
Yeah.
I'm covering Poker Face, the very funny Peacock series starring one Natasha Lyonne. Ever heard of her? I'm covering that with twice. Grace, and we're having a super fun time. We were joined this week by someone who is sitting at this table.
Oh,
it wasn't me.
Wow.
Incredible. Little old me.
Little old Jess. Super fun episode. One of the great, I mean, we just covered a great episode of Community. That was a great episode of Poker Face, as far as I'm concerned. Also covering Dark.
Poker Face is elite, by the way. It's only five episodes so far, and it has been tremendously fun. If you a little bit liked Knives Out, if you a little bit like Natasha Lyonne, you will probably a lot of bit like Poker Face, would be my guess.
Yeah, my take is this past episode, and honestly the series overall so far, it has no business being that good. That's kind of how
especially
I feel
on
about
Peacock.
It.
What are we doing?
Yeah,
it's like Peacock is insulted.
You know what? It's funny though, because I believe it was this week where it was announced like Peacock's like that free tier. We're getting rid of that. You're gonna have to pay now. It's like, okay, well, you get like, one okay, poker face and now like you're this big for your britches. You had the free tier. This is kind of your thing.
It sounds like Natasha Lyonne was like, listen, you need to put on the big pants and kind of throw your weight around a little more. Like she gave some advice to Peacock. That's what's giving. It's giving like Natasha Lyonne energy. I am also covering the Netflix series Dark. It's a full rewatch, very much down the hatch. As you mentioned before, Josh, myself, DM Philly, and Grace, we are covering it from the beginning. We're still early-ish goings in the first season, trying to keep everything straight. Super complicated when you have to take all three seasons into account.
How's that going?
It's only 26 episodes, the entire series, but they are dense. But in a way that I love and always enjoy. So if you know, we welcome everyone, but just know that it will be full spoilers for the entire series. So you should know that. And also covering movies with Grace. I guess I only podcast with Grace, which to be clear, I do not have a problem with.
Your Infinity Pool podcast dropped.
Yes.
How was that? Pusher
Recaps Theater.
Scary movie.
It was a little scare. It was a little.
It's a little gross, right? It's a little grossy, Brody.
Gross. Yeah. Not as grossy gross as Brandon Cronenberg's father, David Cronenberg, can be. But I enjoyed it. Mia Goth is having an incredible few years. She is a horror queen, an icon, as far as I'm concerned. And it's really funny just to. I spent like a good deal of that podcast just doing her impression of saying Alexander Skarsgård's name in.
That's great.
Yeah,
can you do that right now?
James. Oh, come on, James. James. Just like over and over again. It's so good. I love her.
Good. I like that.
And I am on Twitter at that other Ariel.
Amazing. Jess, what do you got going on here on Post Show, also in the 90s?
We are finishing up Natty Trej so soon. National Treasure, Edge of History. We covered the penultimate episode this week. Like, this show has gotten out of control. I don't know. it's just like
last time you said there was a prison break.
Yeah, and now we're like in the swamp. Like, I don't know what's happening.
A bottle episode, Jess?
No, not even close to a bottle episode. Weird things are happening. It's still very fun to be covering it with Marissa Garza. We're having a great time talking to one another weekly. It's been a lot of fun. So we're almost done with that show. Like Ariel said, I joined them on Poker Face, which was so much fun. And I'm covering The Last of Us, one of the many of The Last of Us covering it. That's with Zed, and we're doing a first time playthrough. And let me tell you, I'm getting better at the game. Hey. I'm remembering the buttons, which is the hardest part for me personally. There's so many buttons on the PlayStation 5 remotes. But it's fine. I'm learning things. I'm shooting things. I'm killing things. I'm making so many shivs. I'm really great at making shivs at this point. And it's a great time. I'm enjoying myself greatly. The show is wonderful. The game is wonderful. Go listen to us play it. You can hear me complain a lot about NPCs who get in my way. Move out of my way.
I don't like it when you get in my way.
Like, Jess, they make me die.
Yes, are you so fault. Are you cloning the character Shiv from Succession? Is that what
right?
You're
can you
making shivs?
I just want to talk about Shiv all the time in the various ways.
Every time you stab someone in The Last of Us with a shiv, do you say "I'm off"?
Yes, I do. I scream at them because they're trying to kill me. Anyway, go check out that podcast. It's a lot of fun. And then of course on Shit 90 Show Stop Me, we're covering Dawson's Creek. PC and Audrey are officially together now. It's a thing.
Wow. They're all getting older.
They're all getting older. We're talking about a lot of relationship drama right now. Chad Michael Murray is on the show, which I'm very biased about because he was my teen crush, Chad Michael Murray. Mm-hmm. So go check that out at Shit90s Pod. You can find me on Twitter at @TheJessSterling.
Amazing. I'm at Ryan Howard, wherever you can find me, including on The Last of Us podcast here, on Post Show Recaps here, on Community Building, also Down the Hatch, and so many more. And next week, we continue the community building adventure. It's called Geothermal Escapism, and that makes me sad because I feel like I can figure out what that's about. But very excited. We're going to have a really fun guest, first time on Post Show Recap. She's from the Bingetown TV podcast. Kathleen will be sailing into our Post Show Recaps podcast network to talk about geothermal escapism next week. So really fun podcast coming up. Excited to get her takes on Community. Not so excited to potentially say goodbye to Donald Glover. I hope that it doesn't happen yet, but it seems like it's probably happening, and we'll see. We'll all be here together, and hopefully with a little more hours in the day under our belts, so we're a little less sleepy, but no less weepy as we get into the next episode of Community. So thank you, Ariel. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, everybody listening to this podcast. And until next time, Corey B., take us away.
This is a show in season 5. If I could
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Shut up, Leonard.
Winkler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline makes you say
touche.
Community building is here to stay.
Unsubscribe.